The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, I'm glad that Gary started with the question of, did you actually sleep an extra hour this morning? Because if you have small kids, you know that the kids really don't care if it's daylight savings time. And so for us this morning, we were woken by a 2.5-year-old girl that can just barely look over our bed and looks over at us and wants to be awake an hour before I was supposed to wake up. And so she crawls into bed and she's snuggling mom. And so I'm thinking, oh, maybe if she might be able to fall asleep with mom and I can still continue to sleep. But then right when I was thinking that, she surprised all of us and she said, no, mom, I want dad. And she came and she snuggled with me. And I'm laying in the bed and I'm snuggling my girl and I'm thinking inside of my head, you know, I could complain about this because I could be sleeping an extra hour, but I choose to be thankful. I choose to give God all the thanks. And so this morning started with me snuggling my little girl, giving God the thanks for who she is, for blessing me with a wonderful family. The truth is, we struggle with thanksgiving at times. We struggle at times for just stopping what we're doing and saying thanks. Today, we're starting the sermon series called Attitude of Gratitude. And the truth is, many of us do very well with the attitude part. But maybe we don't do as well with the gratitude part. How can we have an attitude of gratitude? How can we offer thanksgiving in everything that we do? We take so many things for granted, don't we? A roof over our heads. Food on our table. Family and friends around us. As what we mentioned this morning, even the opportunity to worship God freely at a church family that loves one another. We take it for granted. I wonder how many of you today, this morning, on the way here, you stopped and you said, God, thank you so much that I'm able to come and to worship you. My guess is probably not many of us. Because we struggle at just stopping to give thanks. Now there's a famous line that I've read several times in the last couple of years, but it's really a true line and it makes us think. This is what it says. What if you woke up today with only the things that you thanked God for yesterday? Let me ask that again. What if you woke up today with only the things that you thanked God for yesterday? How many things would you have? How many things did you stop and did you give thanks? For me, since I grew up around the Chicagoland area, I grew up loving watching Michael Jordan. I watched Michael Jordan all the time. I wanted to be like Mike. And so I was glued to the TV in 2012 when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame. And when he was inducted, I was watching, and for 23 minutes, which I found funny since he was number 23, but for 23 minutes, he had this speech. And this speech that basically proclaimed how great he was. And a speech that basically he asked for anyone that was in his life that doubted him, he invited to come. And it was during that speech when he looked at them and he said, "Ha, I told you so. I made it. I'm great." And it made me want to puke. But then right after that, another Hall of Fame speech was made. This one was from David Robinson. He only spoke for 7 minutes. And in those 7 minutes, he thanked his family and he told them how precious they were to him. And at the very end of the speech, this is how he ended his speech. Watch this.
I know there's still a lot of stuff I'm forgetting, but I'm just going to close. I'm going to tell you the one thing that I was thinking the other day about a story from the Bible is from Luke, the 17th chapter. And it was a story about 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus. And one of them came back. And one of them fell on his knees before him and said, "Thank you." And honored him and blessed him. And I just want to say thank you. God has followed me in my career and he has blessed me and he has strengthened me and he's encouraged me. And if anybody who knows me or anybody who has watched me, you have seen his hand in my life. And my prayer is that he will walk with you as he has walked with me all through my life. So thank you very much. Have a great day.
So in his speech, he ended by just telling God thanks. Thanks for blessing me. Thanks for this great career that I had. Thanks for everything that you have done. Let's read the story that he talked about. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 11. I'm going to read portions of it and stop what I'm reading to kind of get you caught up to what we are reading about and the significance of it. Luke chapter 17. Verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Here we see this is important to understand. First of all, Jesus is traveling to where? Jerusalem. And he is going to Jerusalem, and what's going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem? He's going to die. And he knows this. He is basically on his way to a place where he knows he is going to die. And it's on this journey where it says that he is walking along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, for him to do this, it might have been out of his way. It might have been him walking a roundabout to get to the spot, maybe because he knew that certain people might be there. He knew this is the place where the outcasts live. This is the place where lepers live. We see in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, it says this. This is their law back then, the law of anyone who has leprosy. It said, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover their lower part of their mouth like this, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as they have this disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside of the camp. And so here, Jesus is walking on the outside of the camp. Jesus is walking between the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And let's see who he meets. Verse 12. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So here he met these lepers. How many of them were there? 10. There were 10 lepers. What is leprosy? Leprosy is this skin disease that eats away at all of your skin and everything around you. Back then, they did not have any treatment for it. That's why when you had leprosy, they basically marked you unclean and you had to go outside of camp. You couldn't breathe on anyone. You couldn't talk to anyone. You couldn't touch anybody. They had to wrap you with all of this linen so your skin would not be visible. Leprosy would get so bad that sometimes it would eat away at the skin where people's fingers would sometimes fall off. It's this horrible disease. Back then, if someone had leprosy and if someone was diagnosed for the first time, instantly, they would be marked unclean and they wouldn't be able to go back to their home to get the things that they needed. They wouldn't be able to say goodbye to their family, to their wife, to their kids. They would have to just go to the outskirts of town immediately. Can you imagine that life that they lived? No one would talk to them. Nobody wanted to interact with them. It's their law that they had to live out there. But this is where Jesus was walking. And they saw Jesus and they cried out to him, "Lord, Master, have pity on me." Basically, what they were saying is, "Will you please love me? Because no one else will. Will you please heal me?" This is what Jesus did in verse 14. When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Imagine this picture, if you will. So these 10 lepers crying out to Jesus. Jesus tells them, "Now go and see the priests." Notice he didn't heal them right away. They were not healed then. He didn't even talk about or mention healing here. All he asked them to do is a simple command and asked them to obey. Now, if I was a leper, I would probably be questioning Jesus. "Wait, go to the priest? No one wants to talk to me right now. I can't even be in someone else's area. You're asking me to go to the priest?" We don't know if there was any kind of conversation between the two or between all of them. But what we do know is the lepers then went. And as they went, can you picture this story in your head? As they went and as they started to walk towards the priest, that they look at their skin and their skin started right before their eyes started to heal. Can you imagine of how then all of these 10 lepers who are looking and thinking, "Holy cow, what is going on? Jesus is healing me." And so now they're looking at this, and I could just picture all 10 of them just now starting to run after the priests and taking off their bandages while they're running. I can picture it. And while all of them are running, there was one who stopped. And the rest of them looked back and said, "What are you doing? We get to see our family again. We got to get to the priest as fast as we can. We are going to be marked clean today. Someone gets to touch us today." But this one stopped. And the rest of them were like, "Well, forget about you. I am off to the priest. I can't wait. I have nothing better to do but to get to that priest right now." But this one stopped. Let's see what he does. Verse 15, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him." And he was a Samaritan. One. Only one. Now, I'm not a math major, but I could do this math. 10%. One. He stopped. When everybody else was running this way, he stopped. And I can just picture him starting to run this way and starting to run right at Jesus. And I could picture him while he's running to Jesus. It says that he is rejoicing. He is praising God in a loud voice. While he's running to him, he's saying, "Jesus, thank you. I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the one that loved me and had pity on me. Thank you." And it said he fell at his feet and he gave thanks. One. Let's see Jesus' response. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" You could see this almost aggravation in Jesus' voice. He's saying, wait a second. Did the other 9 not get healed? Why is there only one that's coming back?" He was kind of aggravated. "Why didn't all of you stop what you were doing and just to give thanks?" It's almost like the person who reaches out to another person and really helps them, and then the other person just drives away without even saying a word. And you're standing of saying, "You're welcome." Jesus is saying, "Only one?" And I'm wondering today if Jesus is saying the same thing. He's looking at us and he's saying, "Only one." Verse 19, "Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" The Greek word for "made you well" is the word sozo. To me, I think it's just a cool word to say. The word sozo means saved. Jesus basically said, "Rise and go, for your faith has saved you." You see, on this day, there were 10 lepers, and all 10 of them received physical healing, but only one of them received spiritual healing. Because of the one who stopped what he was doing and who turned back to Jesus to stop and to give thanks. You see, we are like the lepers in this. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means we are all in need of his pity. We are all in need of his mercy. We are all in need to be cleansed. And just like the leper, there is one of them who stopped and to give thanks. When was the last time you stopped and you thanked God for cleansing you? For giving you grace? For showing you mercy? When was the last time you stopped and to say thanks for the things that were in your life? Once again, let me say this. Would if you woke up today with only the things that you thanked God for yesterday? Church, let's be the one. Let's be the one that turns and to give God thanks for what's in our life. Hebrews 13:15 is a verse that I want us to focus on this month. And this is what it says. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Let me read that again. Through him, let us only offer up a sacrifice of praise to God whenever we feel like it. No, that's not what it says. Oh, through him, let us praise God when we have good days. No, that's not what it says either. Through him, then, let us continually. What does that word mean? Never stop. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. No matter what your day is like, no matter what is going on in your life, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So let's be the one, church. Let's be the one this week that stops what we're doing and that runs towards Jesus and falls at his feet and stop to say thank you. Thank you. As I mentioned, this morning I had a choice. I could have griped, I could have complained, but I chose to give thanks. You see, every day, each and every one of us have a choice. Are you going to give thanks? Or are you going to complain? This week, let's stop. Stop what we're doing. And let's thank God.